Good morning, millennials.
Welcome back to the toast and happy Tuesday. Speaking of, you know, where do I want to go with this?
It's in there.
No, like I could do the basic, like speaking of girls I choose, like let's be creative. Let's do something different. I feel like I do that every Tuesday. Speaking of choose, here's the girl I'd always choose, Jacqueline Follet.
Well, that just posed an interesting question to me because Election Day is always on a Tuesday. And do you think that's because it's Tuesday?
Because we're making a choice?
Because we're making a choice on a Tuesday, which is a Tuesday of Election Day. Just something to think about, food for thought. I feel like her founding fathers, like, dropped a lot of Easter eggs that were only now finding.
Okay, Nicolas Cage.
Totally. I should watch that movie. I feel like I would like it
1,000%.
Maybe then I didn't get it, but I feel like now, even though American history is good, you know?
Okay.
Mighty proud. But it's not nearly as long as some of the other histories.
We don't have real roots because we're, you know, a nation of immigrants. We sort of just like left all the other places and we're like, let's do our own thing.
As they called it, a new world.
Right. And that's cool and exciting. And it's actually kind of sick how we're like kind of the best country and we're also the newest. Like we did the most in the least amount of time. Like I respect the hustle I do. But of course, you know, we're not nearly as, you know, old and historic.
The other countries and other continents. And it's just interesting when you think about it.
It definitely is. And I feel like we've gotten immediately sidetracked.
Beyond.
You know, all the complexities of history.
I'll add National Treasure to my watch list.
Thank you. Yes. And before you do that, welcome back to the toast. We've got a great show. It is Tuesday, also known as Tuesday around here. We have so much to discuss. We've got the stories.
The stories are really, really good. And I want to say for a Tuesday, but I don't want that to diminish the stories. Like they are good for a Tuesday, but they're also just really strong in general. And I look forward to talking about them. And I hope that we're not going to wade into anything.
Well, let me ask.
Prior to.
Was Oprah's Ozempic special made a story? Because you and I both watched it. And I have some thoughts I'd like to share.
Yes, it is a story. It's our first story, if you could hold off.
I can, but I did want to come on here and say that after I watched Oprah's Ozempic special, which we will get into recapping in a minute, I caught up on Curb Your Enthusiasm. Are you caught up?
No.
Now, let me tell you, it's not like an amazing season. And I always watch every week. And let me tell you, I was like 4 episodes behind. So that just sort of tells you how not enticing this season is. However, I watched an episode last night that was so brilliant, and not even for Larry David. I'm going to spoil it, but it's worth it. For Lori Loughlin.
Okay.
Now, I feel like this was her first kind of major acting gig since the college admission scandal. She plays herself. And she plays herself, you know, post-prison. And I happen to know for a fact, like, she's really into golf in real life. Her and Ben are, like, always talking about it. And she is joining Larry's club. And the club doesn't want her because she went to prison, yada, yada. And she ends up, like, her in real life, it's like Lori's actually kind of like a badass. Like, she has a handicap placard, even though she's not supposed to have one. And Larry's, like, kind of put off by her energy. Let me tell you, it was such a brilliant way to come back to acting. I can only sort of compare it to an equally as impressive comeback when Justin Bieber went through like a really, really tough time. And then he did the roast of Justin Bieber on Comedy Central. Right. It was so brilliant. Something about making yourself the butt of the joke, letting people sort of pile on, haha, have their moment, and being in on the joke is such a great way to come back from any sort of scandal. And I wasn't expecting this from Lori Loughlin because, you know, she's very buttoned up. She's very, you know, family network, you know, homes, HGTV energy. It was so funny. And I ended up, and I love Lori Loughlin. I have no problem with her. So I wasn't like the target demo for this, but
you didn't need your mind to be changed.
I was like, damn, this, like, I just love her. And I think it will be effective for real in sort of rehabilitating her image.
For sure, but how come I didn't even hear about the fact that she was on Curb until you're saying this?
I know, Curb is like in a weird place where it's like, I feel like the show had its run and then, you know, years later it came back. And I feel like once it came back, every season was so gangbusters and everyone was talking about it every week. And I feel like this season, like, is primarily not good.
Yeah, I watched the first episode. It didn't compel me to want to watch more episodes. Zach was watching an episode that there was a funny, like, running joke, but I wasn't, like,
I know, it's
obsessed.
Like,
though this episode sounds good, and
it was to watch it. Hysterical. I just want to say, though, and I never thought I'd say this, because every time he said he was done with the show, I'm like, no, Larry, do more. I feel like maybe it's time.
Yeah.
It's not very good.
That's fine by me. Our husbands will be upset.
It's nice to have something to watch with the husbands. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, though I completely forgot about it until now. But last night I was watching Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Of course you were.
Finished Reunion Part 2, on to Reunion Part 3. And I don't know if it's me. Maybe I just, like, put my phone down. But I was really locked in. I felt like all the conversations that they were having were really interesting conversations. Like, of course, Kyle, Sutton's talking about, like, her ex. They're all talking about what they share on the show. Literally the exact conversation that we were having, because Kyle was accused of hiding. And she was like, I've been on this show for 13 years. My daughter had her second birthday party. Now she's applying to college. I've had two sisters on the show. My family has broken up. Like, she was making fire points.
Yeah.
She was also saying that she didn't even know what was going on with her marriage as the season was filming. She doesn't have to say every preformed feeling that she has. Mm-hmm. And then she goes to Sutton, because Sutton's the one who's accusing her of it. She's like, you don't share anything. Your ex-husband's too powerful to talk about. This season you got a horse and started a cashmere line. Like, oh, no, thanks.
It's factual.
It was giving straight fire facts.
Yeah.
And then also we talked about Dorit a little bit, because she's going through a metamorphosis. And the way Dorit has my heart.
I know. Like, she always has.
She always has. But I feel like the last few seasons, like, that connection that I had to her was maybe, like, dwindling. I thought she gave such a stellar performance at the reunion. I feel like people might disagree with me on that. I feel like everyone was just coming at her from all sides. People make so much fun of her because she's long-winded, but that doesn't really come through on the show because it's edited. So I'm like, oh, Dorit just speaks well, you know?
Yeah, and but by the way, I have always found a deep connection to that storyline of Dorit. People say she talks too much and she, like, always brings the conversation back to herself, and they think it's, like, a character flaw, and I know definitely people say that about me, and when I tell you, it's so not intentional. Not me doing it right now, you know?
Literally, like, Dorit starts speaking about her robbery and her PTSD, and Andy starts yawning. Like, seriously, it's so fucking rude.
Okay, but the yawning saga with Andy and Dorit is truly this is the third reunion in a row where he's yawned while she's speaking.
Yes, I saw the highlights, and it would be funny if what she was saying right now, like, wasn't incredibly serious. In the past, she's talking about the women, yawn, haha. But it was really kind of rude. Also, Garcelle and Crystal just, like, have it out for Dorit, or just, like, giggling at the things that she's saying and rolling their eyes. I found it to be, like, so rude and condescending. Also, Garcelle this season, like, made a comment alluding to the fact that things about Dorit's robbery were questionable.
Yeah, a lot of people have.
To what end? What do they think?
That it was, like, an insurance setup. Like, you know, because they have, for many years, there have been whispers about their financial situation. And, you know, if you get robbed and they steal a bunch of stuff, you get that money back in insurance.
Got it. Well, Garcelle didn't go as far as saying that. She just made snide comments and then is like, oh, you know, I just thought it was weird that you still had your ring and that the robber would leave the phone for you by the gate, which it's like, okay, sorry, it didn't fit your perfect robbery story.
Yeah, no, Garcelle is snarky. Most of the time I actually enjoy it, but every now and then she misses the mark. With Crystal, I feel like Crystal, I don't know, I feel so two ways about Crystal, because she hasn't been my favorite, but she's Jewish, so I'm not going to say anything bad about her.
She converted?
Yeah. Oh, she's, like, a serious Jew. Oh. Her husband was Jewish. I spoke to her very briefly about it at BravoCon. I didn't know that either, but at BravoCon, because BravoCon was, like, right after October 7th, like, a month after, there was, like, a dinner for, like, Jewish Bravo celebrities, and Erin Danilici invited me. Yeah. And I was like, oh, Crystal's Jewish, and she had told me that, yes, she is Jewish, and she, like, is a very serious convert.
Oh, I love that for her.
Yeah, so you're not going to catch me saying anything bad about her.
No, she was just being snarky, and she's just funny. She just has, like, the most she just dies on the most random of hills. But yes. It's like, okay, go off.
No, she's also just, like, on a personality level, so different than the other women. Like, yes. She's also in a different, like, age bracket, which I think she's always, like, referencing her generation versus their generation. But it really, I do think part of, like, why she doesn't get along with some of the women, like, is purely generational. Like, they're just different.
Yeah.
She's a little sensitive, you know?
Yeah, she's in her feelings
a bit. Like Kathy Hilton, like of a completely generation, like doesn't give a fuck. Even though Kathy Hilton and Crystal
get along. I think that's actually Kathy's. We're about to see Kathy on part three, but I feel like her and Crystal actually have the best relationship.
That's an unlikely friendship. I'm not going to lie.
I love an unlikely duo.
I think they live in the same neighborhood and that's like really how they just became friends.
Yeah. Anyways, the season is really good. I'm enjoying it. I don't know what the feedback has been and like who's villainous and what people are saying. I just know I'm enjoying it.
I am dressed like kind of athletically. I don't know if you noticed. I don't know if you can
see. I saw your story. You're going for a run.
It's 1 degree in the city. Like last week when I went outside, I was like kind of scared to be running outside with my running coach and stuff. But I was like, you know what? Whatever. It's a beautiful day. God is shining down on me.
Get after it.
It is so fucking cold. What do you wear to run? Like, do you wear a coat?
Yeah, wear a puffer kind of athletic style coat.
I didn't bring one. So like literally this is what I'm running in. A turtleneck.
How many degrees is it actually?
It will be in the 40s.
I think you'll warm up.
Yeah, by the way, so, and what I kind of liked about running in the park, I feel like this is kind of like a life hack, okay, is I ran 2 miles a week ago. I didn't break a sweat because maybe a little under boob sweat actually, but more so my hair. And getting into fitness has been really challenging for me as somebody who's on camera every single day. Like I have a blowout pretty much every single day and I can't be washing my hair more than twice a week. So becoming, you know, athletic has sort of posed a problem. When I tell you, I literally went home and like brushed my hair and it was completely dry.
Completely fine. And think of the Kardashians. Like if the Kardashians can work out 1 to 2 times a day, have hair every day, spray tans, everything, like there's no excuse.
No, I feel like that's actually not a good comparison.
I don't
like,
think they wash their hair.
They have full-time glam.
But they don't wash their hair ever.
I wouldn't wash my hair either if the second I worked out, my hair person was blow drying and like spraying, making it fresh as a daisy.
Oh, but I mean, okay, so you don't have someone to do it, but you have those capabilities yourself. Like,
yeah, I don't want to. I thought
you
were
saying because the sweat means you have to wash your hair.
No, I don't have to wash my hair, but like, you know, it makes
it. If they don't wash your hair, I'm not washing mine.
When I get really sweaty, like it changes my schedule. And I do different workouts every day based on like, if I know I'm going to be washing my hair, like I'll go balls to the wall.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like when you do strength training, like if you ever do like Live Method, you don't need to wash your, you're not like sweating. You're just working really hard.
Exactly. But when I'm running on the treadmill, that's like, I look like a pig.
Yeah.
So life hack, then run outside me, in the cold. You'll never have to wash your hair.
Also life hack, if you're running, sweating like a pig next day, updo.
I'm just not an updo girl.
Flashback to all the updos that you've loved and slayed.
No, and by the way, for sure, but on the podcast, what, I'm going to put my hair like what?
In a slick back bun, gorgeous turdy.
Slick back buns like don't work for me. I can do a claw clip with like a, you know, slut strands type of moment. I can sometimes do like a chignon, but like that whole slick, I also just can't do it on myself.
Well, who has the arm strength?
Not me. I got to head back to the Soto method to
work on, prepare.
Get it.
Yeah.
So Lori Loughlin, that was kind of the one thing I wanted to say before the show started. Anything you sort of wrote down in a mental note that you were like, let me talk about on the show before the Fast Five? I always like have things and then I forget.
No, totally. Yesterday just kind of zoomed by. I got a manicure pedicure that I'm really excited about.
Go off, queen.
I even did something crazy because as I was getting in my car. Yeah, I drive.
Yeah.
I messed up a nail and I was sitting there and it was really bad. It was like, I would have to go home and redo my nail. And I was like, do I go and fix it or do I go home? And I was already hating the whole experience process of getting a manicure pedicure. Like I really, truly hated every minute of it. But I went back in and I fixed it. And now I'm right as rain.
Well, you wouldn't need to do that if you got a gel manicure. But I did want to tell you, I totally forgot. So I got a manicure like a week ago. And the girl next to me had such a gorgeous color. She really was just like a gorgeous girl with gorgeous nails. And I was like, what color is that? And she was like, oh, it's dazzle dry. I'm like, you're kidding.
What color was it?
Like one of my favorite like flesh colored nudes.
Oh, I have a nice flesh colored nude from Dazzle Dry. But I was going to say the only thing about Dazzle Dry, if I had to say, well, of course you leave with wet nails, but I'm fine. I'm used to that. Is that their colors like aren't as amazing as SEOPI. One, they don't have the range. And two, like the colors that they do have aren't I have two that I love. This is one of them. But they don't have so many lovable ones. So that's crazy that was your takeaway.
I know.
Dazzle Dry FTW.
I like when she said I literally rolled my eyes and she probably was like, oh my God, this girl is so rude. I was like, no, it's like this whole long story.
I have pre-existing beef with Dazzle Dry.
Me and my sister / best friend always talk about Dazzle Dry. She's obsessed.
You said that?
Yeah.
And what did she say?
She could not have cared less. Like,
oh,
she's like,
oh,
I was okay. bothering her.
Damn.
Yeah. Oh, I did go to the gynecologist yesterday.
Right.
And let me tell you, when I was in the waiting room, I saw so many toasters. And, you know, you don't say, I know they all are like, she's pregnant. Like, they all were like, but Ben wasn't with me. So I feel like you can go to the gynecologist for other things.
Of course. And if they listened to the episode, they would know. Speaking of, did you get your period?
No. Yikes. She would have told me when they ran my thing yesterday. Like, I got urine and everything.
True.
Yeah, don't worry. I'm not.
Literally true.
But I got a pap smear, you know.
She got papped. She got popped.
I got paparazzi. Popped. You know, what do they call that thing? Septum? Speculum.
Speculum.
That is a medieval torture device. Like, it was, I really forgot. But, you know, this was, I switched doctors. This was like my first time. So I was really just kind of checking it out. And they had a, I don't know if it was pre-warmed. The speculum was extremely warm. And in the past, it's been so ice cold, which just adds another layer of like real discomfort. And let me tell you, it was one of the most pleasant pap smears I've ever gotten in my life. Like, if they were all like that, it really wouldn't be a big deal for me to stay on top of them.
They're not the biggest deal. I guess after you, because I got one at my 6-week checkup this time, because they were like, yeah, you'll need one in a few months, so just do it now. And I guess after all the rigmarole of pregnancy and after, yeah, all the poking and prodding I went through, the pap smear, where?
Nothing.
There was nothing.
I also got a breast exam, which, you know, I've actually, it's been weighing heavy on me since we spoke about Olivia Munn. So I feel like really good about getting all that done. And I just feel like, you know, call me King Charles, but go get a pap smear.
And a breast exam.
Well, it's a part of the thing, like the smear? Checkup. The checkup. Yeah, like when you get a pap smear, like they do your boobs.
I don't recall. I wouldn't even know.
No, but it's like definitely
so much going on.
It's definitely awkward. And like, I respect the doctor. Yesterday, she was obviously trying to make conversation while she was like, you know, and I just met her. It's not like I'm like super comfortable with her. So we spoke about Kate Middleton, you know, which was always, I feel like, good sort of middle ground.
Middleton ground.
Middleton ground, yeah. Which, yeah, I'm assuming is our first story.
It's our second story because our first is Oprah.
Okay, I feel like let's get into it.
Yeah, because that's... Wait. The rest of our day was watching Oprah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But what were you going to say?
I was going to share something else about the doctor, and then I was just like, you know what? Maybe not.
I'm loving this new boundary of yours.
She's so refined.
She's so private and mysterious.
You know what? Please
respect. What is she thinking?
Please respect my privacy at this time.
Without further ado, here are the Fast 5 stories that you need to know.
And the Fast 5 stories that you need to know are brought to you by Maidenform. Get a taste of M, a hot new collection of craveable intimates from Maidenform, a brand with a whole lot of history. They've been around since the very first bras, and now they're bringing you a new kind of classic, the chicest basics you've ever seen. So M is a collection from Maidenform, and Maidenform is a brand with 100 years of innovation and category leadership. They wrote the book on bras, and M is their next chapter. You really have to feel it to believe it. It's yummy, buttery, soft fabrics. They feel way more expensive than they are. And it's also, you know, great styles that will break the bank. I have a ton of bras and undies from Maidenform. I happen to love their bras. The material, I can't even describe it. It's like stretchy and bouncy. It has a lot of support. And also the bras that I have adjustable straps, which I feel like for the big boob girlies, also like not to overshare, the saggy boob girlies. An adjustable strap is kind of, I don't know. It's giving breakthrough. It's giving scientific genius. So the M by Maidenform collection is super on trend. They're made from stretchy, comfy fabrics, and they come in incredible colors. I got all black because, like, yeah, I'm sexy like that. M can be worn as innerwear or outerwear. So style it to your taste. You can create looks that serve for all or for none to see. So whether you're just looking for things to wear under your clothes or, you know, craving, you know, creating like a sexy look for, you know, the partner in your life, Maidenform has got you covered. Visit Maidenform.com and use code TOAST20 at checkout for 20% off your first purchase. That's Maidenform.com. Code TOAST20 for 20% off your first order. That's code TOAST20. Today's episode is also brought to you by Thrive Market. One thing we're all doing is grocery shopping, so why not do it from the comfort of your own couch? That's where Thrive Market comes in, the no junk food, healthy grocery store that even kids love. Jax, I feel like you can speak most to kids loving Thrive Market. Tell me about your experience.
I mean, I love Thrive Market. I got my box this week, and my only complaint is I didn't get enough things. Like, the snacks are so good. I eat them and it's the sort of snack I can eat around Harry and I can give him some and it's not like, yep, you know, mommy's guilty bad snacks.
Right.
But they taste so good as I'm on my health journey and I'm just wanting to eat things with better ingredients. The thing about Thrive Market is if it's on Thrive Market, it has the TM stamp of approval.
Yep.
Therefore, it's good to shop. And if you have any dietary preferences, you just can like sort, just same way you sort at any online retailer. It could be like, I only want paleo tings.
Right. So they restrict hundreds of ingredients across their food and cleaning categories. So you can use their on-site filters to suit your lifestyle needs. So whether you're looking for organic kid snacks, low sugar alternatives, gluten-free pantry essentials, you can basically curate your own shopping experience with a few clicks. So you save time shopping because you're doing it from the comfort of your own couch when you're a Thrive Market member, but you're also saving money on every single order. On average, you're saving over 30% each time. They even have a deals page that changes daily, and they always have some of our favorite brands. When you join Thrive Market, you're also helping a family in need with their one-for-one membership matching program. So save time and money and shop Thrive Market today. Go to thrivemarket.com/thetoast for 30% off your first order, plus a free $60 gift. That's T-H-R-I-V-E, market.com/thetoast, thrivemarket.com/thetoast.
Thank you, La.
You're welcome.
Our first story, Oprah calls out decades-long criticism of her weight in an ABC special on the obesity drug trend. So last night, Oprah's shortly awaited special, honestly. We said last week, I hope it's soon, and here it was.
By the way, I forget how I figured out that it was on. Yesterday, I think I saw like a TikTok ad. I was like, damn, that's a turnaround time.
Yeah, so it was called
Shame,
and shame, blame, and the weight loss revolution. And she spoke to a bunch of people who have participated in the drug, whether as recipients or doctors or people in the pharmaceutical industry. And it was just a 360 conversation about these semaglutide injections.
So I want to say I thought it was excellent. I thought it could have been longer. I felt it was kind of, as somebody who knows so much about the drugs, because I spent a whole year on them and like learning about them and then doing podcast episodes with Dr. Gizzi. I know so much. There wasn't for me anything I didn't know, but I really felt like for dumb people, people who have no idea about these drugs, people who are judgmental of these drugs, people who have preconceived notions of these drugs, it was really for them. It was very surface level. And I think debunking a lot of the myths. I do wish she had spent a little bit more time. And overall, it was overwhelmingly positive, which was so refreshing.
Mm-hmm.
But I also, and I feel like she tackled every sort of
every thing. Bucket of conversation around it. Like the person who benefits the most from Ozempic, which, you know, is an adult person. Like the first person we spoke to was Amy. Then there was the teenager. And that's actually like a really big, even more in-depth conversation is about like Ozempic, not for kids, that's separate, but for young people.
No, that was really interesting. I hadn't heard about that girl who at age 11 was almost 300 pounds. Her mom did everything she possibly could, taking her to, you know, camps and clinics and everything. And it was just clear that she had a really, really severe case of obesity. And they made the decision to give her bariatric surgery. The results weren't as severe as they had wanted them to be. So the doctor at the clinic suggested she pair it with one of these drugs. And it kind of became like a national news story that there was this young woman. I think when by the time she was taking the drug, she was like 15. Yeah. And they thought it was really crazy. And Oprah was like to the mom, like, what do you say to parents out there or other people who just like judge you for doing this? And she was like, you know what? Walk a mile in my shoes. Like, watch your daughter have her whole life be put on pause because of this disease and people not take it seriously. I found it really compelling. I don't know if you would have asked me before, what do you think about like young teenagers taking it? I would have been like, I don't know. But this girl's case.
I was about to say the same thing. I feel like before the special, I would have said, I would have put a time, an age on, you know, when
kids grow out of stuff like that.
Yeah. And also like to be injecting serious medication into a young person is not the greatest.
Ideal.
But then when this mom talks about, okay, and what are the risks if we don't do that? I thought it was very compelling. That was like the one thing I kind of changed my mind on a little bit.
Agreed.
That I didn't even know I needed to.
Yeah. So I just loved it. I did not love how the two doctors that she brought on to be experts who are, you know, doctors with years and years and years of obesity research and serving obesity patients. And they were like, we've been using these drugs for 20 years on patients, but now they've just become FDA approved for it. And Oprah was like, so shook. She was like mad. She was like, how come nobody told me? And I feel the same way. Like these drugs have been around for 20 years, which really speaks for their safety and their efficacy, because we have, that's what the doctor was saying, we have 20 years of research on this drug. Not a lot of drugs that hit the market can say that. We're very lucky.
As far as like long-term effects, like what's going to happen in 20 years? Well, you can look at someone who started taking it 20 years ago.
And a lot of the research we have on medicines are done on animals, like mice, which is helpful, but not a human.
Not completely analogous.
So the girl, the female doctor was like, we have 20 years of human data. Like that's so rare. And people should be, and the fact that there's all this like hoopla against it when it's actually one of the most well-researched drugs is, makes you think. But I didn't love that those two doctors who were brought on as experts, who I felt like were really, really smart, and Oprah had to say it legally, that they were, I forget what the word was. They get paid by the pharmaceutical companies to do, the pharmaceutical companies fund their research. They work very closely. So they have a sort of, it's advantageous for them to speak positively about the drug, which I feel like people could, and I don't think that they said anything wrong, but I just feel like it does sort of negate some of the things that they were saying.
Yeah, no, it could delegitimize, and you could use that to be like, oh, well, they're getting paid. You could also and just feel listen like to what they're saying.
Oprah could have found, you know, doctors who are smart and know the research who just don't have a vested interest, you know?
Okay, that's fair.
I loved hearing some of the stories of just regular people who whose life has changed, like that first girl, Amy, who is a toaster, I just found out. I forget, she said she had lost over 100 pounds. I think it was over 150, actually. She's on the drug for maintenance. That was also one other issue I had with the what the doctors said.
That like, it's something you'll be on for the rest of your life?
Right, which I feel like really speaks to the fact that they're being paid by the pharmaceutical companies, because every doctor I've spoken to said like using the drug as a tool with lifestyle changes, there is data to prove that you can live off of it healthily.
Oh, that's so interesting and actually a really good point. Because when I heard them say that, like it's something that you should be on for the rest of your life, like I actually thought it was the first time someone was saying it not in a negative way. Like it's
always
people are like, well, if you take it, you can never get off of it. And it's like, yeah, no, this is a drug you should be on for the rest of your life if you need to be on it. But you just put it in my head, skeptic, like, yeah, because they're getting paid and that's beneficial for people. But the thing is, it's like, okay, it can be beneficial for them and beneficial for people too to live a healthy life.
And that was sort of the thesis of the special, which I really appreciated. It was like, there's not, you know, everyone's journey with weight and everyone's diagnosis of obesity is completely different. So somebody can be on the drug, use it as a tool to lose the weight and change their life and not need it ever again. Then there are people who are going to need it for their whole life to maintain. It's not like a one size fits all solution, but the fact that this works for an overwhelming amount of people with, you know, obesity is marvelous. But she did also then interview a woman who it didn't work for.
Because she got too sick. Not because it didn't work chemically, but
she ended up in the emergency room.
She had bad side effects. And the side effects are always, you know, stated in every headline everywhere. So everyone knows, you know, nausea, vomiting. And she was someone who it didn't work for her in that sense. Yeah.
And she didn't seem like bitter about it. And Oprah said, you know, well, there are other medications. There's so many different types of. And I actually was on, I actually don't know what type. I went to like a doctor, like a fat doctor, many years ago. And she had put me on one of these drugs before I'd ever heard of him. It was called Rybelsus. Oh, it's semaglutide. That's so interesting. Because I took it and got very sick and like literally threw, like the whole idea, I was like, I'm done with these sort of drugs. Had I known if I just tried a different one, my life could have changed so many years prior. I don't want to go down that road because it's frustrating and I think about it all the time. So not every drug, you need to find the right fit. For me, it took, you know, two different types of drugs to figure it out.
Yeah, but a lot of people can't quite literally afford to find the right fit because some are inaccessible and expensive and you cannot get your hands on them.
That was also a topic that I think should have been spoken about a little bit more in depth. One of the women, the mother of the young girl who got bariatric surgery and then ended up on one of these drugs, was saying how her daughter's on, it starts with a V. We were texting about it.
Yeah, starts with a V. Victrover.
Oh, Victroza. Thank you. Yes. And while that's not like the best one she could be on, it's the only one that they can afford. It's one of the older medications that the obesity doctors have been using, but it's not one of these new age ones we've heard of, Ozempic, Mounjaro, Wegovy, which work better. I just hope,
you know, backstage Oprah wrote them a check to get
the one. Oprah was just sort of listening and I'm like, okay, Oprah, like open up your wallet.
Where's the checkbook?
And so I do feel like, you know, the drugs being inaccessible, expensive and not covered by insurance, that was a topic that I think could have been delved into more. But overall, like, tens across the board. Oprah is out here doing important work. I also thought it was interesting. She did bring the CEO of Weight Watchers on. She did address her leaving Weight Watchers. And actually, I believe her. When you had told me that, I was like, okay, I know there's something going on. But no.
So what I think now after watching the special is if she hadn't left the board and she did this special, it could be like
a commercial for Weight Watchers.
Yes, no, but also like a maybe an SEC violation. Like she owns stock and she's kind of manipulating the market. And so legally, she took herself out of it. Not so that people couldn't say she was doing it because of this, but because like legally she didn't want to get in trouble. However, why can't you promote something that you have a vested interest in?
I just think like pharmaceuticals is probably like much more legal red tape.
Yeah, I'm sure she just wanted to like not have it be an issue whatsoever. But it's like if you're a board member for something, of course you want that company to succeed.
And you believe in it.
And you're going to go out there and promote it.
Yeah, no, I agree. But I thought that her bringing on the Weight Watchers CEO, and Weight Watchers is obviously now fully vested in being a telehealth company and getting people GLP-1 medications, which I love, in tandem with their program. And their program really works. Like, I've done it before, and I found short-term success. Like, it does work. And I think what they're saying is, like, our program coupled with weight loss medication is an even better, you know, solution. And I agree.
Yeah,
no, I thought Weight Watchers.
I thought that the Weight Watchers woman, she spoke very briefly. I thought she was incredibly, like, cogent, made fire points, and didn't contradict like Weight Watchers up until this point. And I think the future for Weight Watchers looks bright.
You know what? I really was just like, sorry, never mind. Continue. What else did I want to say about the special? I loved it. 10 out of 10.
Yeah, I could have like watched an hour more of just people's amazing stories.
Stories.
When they had the girl on and they weren't showing her yet, they were just had her voice playing. I'm like, I'm ready for the reveal. And that's always fun to watch. But I do think in general, it being an hour was the right length of time. It didn't get long in the tooth. She covered every general area of conversation that people talk about when they talk about these drugs. And I think as a starter for just public knowledge, it was very good.
Agreed. It was important work. I enjoyed it. Me and Ben were like literally tearing up.
Yeah, it was really sweet.
Ben turned to me in the middle. He was like so silent watching it. And he turned to me, he said, Oprah is a queen.
That is so funny.
Zach no, was she like, really is.
Yeah, I watched it with Zach. He was like gonna cry.
No, it was really beautiful. And it's like, I think first, you know, someone who's had such a positive experience with the drug and like can't say enough good things about it. And I'm sure you who's like seeing, you know, the positive change in me. It's just so nice to see that finally reflected in media. Like it really is. It means a lot.
Yeah.
And we need more of that.
We do need more of it because I think a lot of people are scared who would benefit from it are scared off of.
Yes.
Trying it.
Yep.
And your whole look, that first girl, like. She needs a national commercial.
A young, beautiful mother who, she said, I never left my house. I was just not reaching my potential as a mom. Like, that's so sad.
Yeah.
She's like, the way her life is completely, I mean, I get it, but I think hers was on an even greater scale. I think one of the things I always felt most proud of was, like, really not letting my weight get in the way of me living a full life. But for most people, like, that's always not always an option. It can be debilitating in a mental sense, too.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, physically, it's hard to get up, but mentally, too. And I just thought it was such a great example of someone who she's just, and I'd seen her TikToks come up on my For You page all the time because she really had such a drastic transformation. And she's sort of used that as a platform to advocate for the drugs. And I loved it. And hearing from her was great. I thought they did a really good job of addressing TikTok, which has been like a huge platform for A, misinformation about the drug, but B, also for me, like community. Like when I was on the drug before I shared it with people, I like ended up on Mounjaro Talk and I found like so many helpful tips, like in terms of what to eat, where to place your drugs. There really was like this sense of community, but it was very much like underground. And Oprah's just bringing it above ground. And I love that.
Yeah. It's great.
Yep.
Are you ready for our next story?
Mm-hmm.
Kate Middleton news. She was seen on video for the first time shopping with Prince Harry at the farm.
Harry?
Prince William. Well, that would be news.
That would
Prince
be huge.
William amid surgery recovery and endless speculation about her whereabouts. So TMZ posted video footage from their visit to Windsor Farm shop.
Okay, so you know, like, people are convinced that this isn't her.
I've seen people saying it's not Kate. Yes, I have. I watched it with my own two eyes. That looked like Kate to me. The thing is, I didn't need proving because for me, it's no sleep till Easter. Like, I believe Royal Communications. I do.
Wow. Okay.
Have I not made that? Like, I believe that.
No.
Yeah. I believe that the version that they're telling us is a very vague version of the truth.
Of the truth.
That is what I believe. So just seeing her doing her farm things, like, great. Thank you. I feel not crazy.
No. So I saw the headline. It was like, Kate has been spotted. And I watched a video. And I'm not going to lie. Like, I felt deflated. I felt disappointed. Like, this has just been such a fun journey. And so I understand people now grasping onto it. It's not her. It's Heidi Agan, who's, like, one of the most famous Kate impersonators. Like, I think she goes to birthday parties and stuff. I get people, you know, sort of hanging on to that. I think it's dark times out there. People are bored. And this has given us a sense of unity and a sense of strength. What I have heard is that this is very much like an American conspiracy theory.
Yeah. And in the UK, they're like, calm your biscuits.
I think people are bored, and I get that, because I too felt a sense of sort of sadness when I saw this video of her. I'm like, oh, she's alive and well. It's that over. Sucks. Yeah. And so people are not letting the theory die. And I get it, but I think it's her, and I think we need to let, you know, bygones be bygones. Do I think it's hella convenient she went to like a public place and there was not one other person behind her in the video, like another person at the farm? Yeah, I do. I thought that was strange.
But
like a passerby?
Was there not? It was clearly empty?
Yeah. I mean, the parking lot was full. There were cars and stuff.
Okay, I'm going to watch the video again. Okay,
but maybe they cleared.
I see literally three people behind her.
Are they like royal people?
No, they're sitting at a table, like eating.
Okay.
Oh, but another it could
be extras.
Two.
Okay.
Another one. It's also like a 2-second video. But no, it seems as though there were people.
Okay. And no one's like looking like, oh, wow, that's Kate and Harry. I mean, oh, my God, Kate and William.
Well, they do look pretty low key. You would not think that these are. He's wearing a hat. She's wearing athleisure. If you're not paying attention to your surroundings, looking out for Kate Middleton, it's plausible to think you just think it's like a couple going to the farm.
But the person in the car knew, but nobody else did.
Well, that's an eagle-eyed viewer.
Yeah, no, I think if you wanted to poke holes and continue the theory, you could.
I think so, too, and I know people will.
Yeah, I'm going to, I think, let it rest here. Like, we've had our fun. And it was fun. The memes made me giggle. I enjoyed all of the content. But I think it's time. I do. And I think, like, everybody kind of needs to get a grip. Like, I understand the sadness and not wanting the fun to end, but the party's got to end. And I think it officially ends here.
Yes, but also some Kate-adjacent news is that Rose Hanbury has spoken out and was responding to the Prince William affair rumors via her lawyers. So
we love a litigious queen.
Told Business Insider via her lawyers that rumors that she had an affair with William are completely false.
Yes, and actually I wanted to share this. Because I had said yesterday that the Rose Hanbury rumors started and ended with Dumois. Now, they actually started years prior, and they were known to have been completely made up. They laid dormant for a while, and then Dumois resurfaced them, and now they're just sort of believed to be true. And let me read exactly. It was started by a journalist. Hold on. Somebody posted it in Toast After Dark. So the Rose Hanbury rumor did not begin on Dumois. Like 6 years ago, a tabloid journalist started the rumor, and then after being threatened with lawsuits from Rose and her husband, came clean and said it was made up for traction and publicity. He knew Kate and William, and Rose and her husband lived close to each other in Norfolk, so he picked Rose as a mistress at random. Poor Rose. The rumor is not based in fact. It's literally garbage. A couple of years ago, somebody obviously found out about the debunked rumor, wrote it into Dumois, and now TikTok users who've never paid attention to the royals before have found it and sort of run rampant with it. Kate and Rose are friends. They actually went to a music festival together last year. Pippa Middleton named her daughter Rose a few years ago. Rose's husband is one of the richest and most esteemed members of nobility, which is why his son was in the coronation as a page. So just some background on the rumor.
Yeah, I feel like everyone's feeling a little crazy right now. Like they if you are sensible, like you must be feeling a little stupid.
What did they say about Rose? I mean, what did Rose say? I'm sorry. And why to Business Insider, like the loseriest publication with no reach and nobody takes it seriously?
I do not know why, but her lawyer said that it was completely false and I will not be becoming an insider and subscribing to learn more.
By the way, it's like she wanted nobody to see her statement because she put it on Business Insider, which nobody reads. And two, behind a paywall, no one's paying for that shit. So post it on Instagram if you want people to see it. If not, it's like she's burying it in like the loseriest app, like publication.
Yeah, but it's like if you know it's not true and there's not a morsel of truth to it, then just like let people look and act crazy. You know?
I know, but they've been taking it really far and saying like really defamatory things about her and her husband and her family. And like at some point, like it's bothersome, no matter how rich and noble you are. Like it's bothersome.
She's a literal queen. All of them are.
Well, she's actually a marquess.
The richest member of nobility her husband is. Like you think they really care what some people on Twitter are saying.
In another country.
Like it's so beyond irrelevant. And if she just puts her phone down, it all is over. And she goes back to her fabulous life.
I guess like not saying anything also makes it look true. And they are saying like things that are defamatory to her character. Like, but I understand.
Saying something also makes it look true too. Thou doth to protest too much. Like the argument can be made both ways.
No, I think like making one statement after all the speculation, like that's not thou doth to protest too much.
I just think there's no winning when people are hell bent on thinking something is true. Let them talk that talk. As long as the people around her don't think it, that, you know, the people that she cares about, who cares?
Yeah.
Rise above, Rose.
Rise above.
Are you ready for our next story? Which is kind of crazy, but yeah. I kind of get it.
Okay.
Richard Simmons is backtracking the claim that he is dying and he's apologizing for confusion. So Richard Simmons clarified that he's not actually dying just hours after claiming that he was. It sounds bad, but I feel you, Richard. The former fitness instructor took to social media on Monday to apologize to fans for sparking concern over his health. So he had went on a Twitter thread this all happened yesterday, and he said, "I have some news to tell you. Please don't be sad. I am dying. Oh, I can see your faces now. The truth is we are all dying. Every day we live, we are getting closer to our death. Why am I telling you this? Because I want you to enjoy your life to the fullest every single day. Get up in the morning and look at the sky, count your blessings and enjoy." He went on to share a lot of tips for living like a healthy and beautiful life.
Full, yeah.
Eating oatmeal, eggs, wheat toast, how about a salad, maybe a workout. Richard Simmons has some on YouTube. And people thought that he was announcing that he was dying while also telling you how to enjoy your life to the fullest. Then he said, "I'm sorry many of you have gotten upset about my message today. Even the press has gotten in touch with me. I am not dying. It was a message about saying how we should embrace every day that we have. Sorry for this confusion." So he was saying, like, I'm dying in the sense that we are all going to die.
Right, the second you're born, you're literally dying. Now, I can see how somebody would read the tweet and A, think that he actually is dying, or B, like understand what he was really trying to say. I don't think he was intentionally being confusing, but I could see how people got confused. And that said, he's a beloved figure.
When I read the tweet, primary source, I thought he was saying we are all dying in the general sense. But because I was reading that under the guise of like Richard Simmons says he's dying, I was like, oh, it kind of sounded like he was just saying we're all dying, but oh, sad he's dying too. Mm-hmm. He's dying like more immediately.
Yeah, like in the near future.
But then I was happy to go back to reading it through the other lens. Like, yeah, we are all dying. Live healthy, make good choices. Go forth and prosper.
He did end his, you know, thesis saying, yes, live healthy, make good choices, and please stream Live Like You Were Dying by Tim McGraw. That's what he said.
A beautiful message. And I actually feel like that part was the most misleading.
No, because actually what he's trying to say is the lyrics to Live Like You Were Dying.
But nobody accused Tim McGraw.
Diving, I went Rocky Mountain climbing. Yeah, by the way, because he said live like you were dying. He was very clear that he actually wasn't dying, but you should live like you are.
Yeah. But when Tim McGraw wrote that song, nobody accused him of being like, oh, you told us you were dying. He's like, no, I'm just saying.
In the song, he makes it very clear that he's not. Even like, literally in the title, Live Like You Were Dying. It makes it clear that you're not, but you should live like you are.
What Richard would be Simmons, a way, like, didn't do, how would you phrase it if you were dying?
Live, because I'm dying.
Live, because I'm dying. Okay, you Richard Simmons. Jackie,
you know what that's giving? Title. Live, because you're dying.
Yeah, and I feel
that literally
like,
sounds like a line from Yellowstone. You gotta live, because you're dying, you know?
Yeah. I think it's a good message in general. I think Richard Simmons.
I got lost in the bringing delivery.
It across our desk. Like, yeah, life is short. We are all dying. Live like it. It's beautiful, Richard.
What's like the craziest thing you've ever done? Like when I saw your friend Dana over the weekend and she was telling me about how she surprised her husband on her honeymoon with skydiving. And they went to this like really scary airstrip and like it was the scariest thing ever and they did it. And her husband, who was like, Dana's crazy, ended up having like the most amazing experience. Dana had done it before. He had not. And I was like, I've never done anything like, you know, daredevilish. Have you? Like, never went bungee jumping?
No, not in a daredevilish sense. Like things that seemed crazy for me, but for other people would be like, oh, okay, you jumped off the diving board. Congrats.
Yeah, no, literally same.
You dived into the
pool. I'm trying to think like,
like the leap of faith in the Bahamas. Like, I'm sorry, but we're just not.
We're not like that. I don't like to test God. I'm just not a person who believes in doing dumb things for what? Like a video?
No, it's just for me, it's for what? Like say all goes well and whatever. For what?
Right. For the experience is why people do it. I'm really trying to think. Like, I've never gone like swimming with sharks. Like, I've never, not even gone swimming with dolphins. Like, I've never done anything even remotely crazy. I like jumped off of like a rock in the British Virgin Islands, but like in hindsight, it was probably 6 feet.
Yeah, I've jumped off like a rock.
Yeah. Yeah. I've never like, yeah.
Like I've done a roller coaster.
I wonder if Brian has ever gone skydiving. I feel like he's like too tall. You can't even fit in the plane.
I don't think that's a thing.
I know he does like scuba diving. He's done like swimming with whales. Like, no, I've never done anything like that.
Maybe you're kind of exposing him, like, because he's the
he's not a real thrill seeker.
No, like he's, first of all, a thrill seeker plus aviation thrill seeking, and he hasn't done it.
I'm gonna ask him if he's ever gone skydiving. I really don't think he has, and I don't think he will now because he's like a dad.
I feel like he would. I feel like maybe he. I would. If I had to bet, I would say that.
Have
he
you
has.
Ever gone skydiving? Question mark. If not, comma, would you ever?
And if not, comma, why?
Would you ever? Okay, I asked. I'll leave that open. I'm very curious to see what he says.
I feel like he has.
You do?
Yeah.
I feel like I would have seen a photo.
Pre-Instagram.
Oh, yeah. And like he has been in the travel game.
He's done it. Didn't need to do it again, but he has done it, is what I think.
Okay. I mean, we'll see. He's not typing yet, but he's the type of person. He's always on his phone.
Okay.
I love people like that.
Are you ready for our next story?
No.
She's not ready.
Is it the next story that's brought to you by Verst? The cure to overcomplicated skincare routines. Their products are effective, easy to use, and affordable. So you can achieve good skin from head to toe without a 10-step routine. We've been trying their newest product, the Advanced Retinol Body Butter, for a few weeks, and we love that we can now get the results of retinol that we love for our face all over our body. So I think this is like kind of brilliant. Verst is one of those skincare companies. I started with their makeup melting balm, eucalyptus. It's fabulous. And then I just started using a lot of their products. And now it's a brand that I just trust. Like if I need a product and Verst makes one, I'm like, oh yeah, I'll try that one. I feel like their ingredients are really simple. I find that their products work really, really well. And I love the idea of the Advanced Retinol Body Butter, which is retinol, but for your body. We use it on our face. Why not for your chest, for your arms, for your legs? So Verst is a dermatologist-tested, clinically tested, sensitive, skin-friendly, cruelty-free, and vegan company. They offer high-quality, skin-safe retinol for your face, eyes, and body at a fraction of the cost of high-end brands, and you don't need a prescription. They are 100% of their community testers saw improvement in the overall appearance of their skin, and 94% say their skin feels firmer after using the Advanced Retinol Body Butter. Verst is excited to offer the Toast listeners an exclusive 15% off on your first order, but only for a limited time. You can discover Verst at verstskin.com and at Target. And if you want our 15% off, you can find them in store at Target or visit verstskin.com/toast. Use the code TOAST15 at checkout for 15% off your purchase. That's verstskin.com/toast, verstskin.com/toast, and use code TOAST15. Today's episode is also brought to you by The Farmer's Dog. This new year, the easiest healthy habit to start is one for your dog. The The Farmer's Dog makes feeding real healthy dog food easy and convenient, and your dog will absolutely love it. It is smart, healthy pet food that you can feel good about feeding your pup. That's why it's time to quit the kibble, kick the cans, and start fresh. The Farmer's Dog makes and delivers fresh, healthy dog food right to your door. It is developed by veterinarians, it is nutritionally balanced, and it is made from real meat and veggies to the safety standards of human food. Theo was a Farmer's Dog dog. He loved it. We saw so many benefits in his breath in his digestion. So like his poops were more regular and just like normal shaped. His skin was really shiny. His hip fur. We haven't started Tromeo on it yet. He's still on the food that like the breeder had him on, and it's like a slow transition, so we're working on it. Traditional dry and wet food dog options are highly processed. They can use much lower quality ingredients than they claim to, and they are extremely difficult to portion accurately. A fresh diet has been found to have all sorts of benefits, so it doesn't matter if your dog is young or old. It is always the right time to begin investing in their health. That will mean more happy, healthy, and full years together. So get 50% off your first box of fresh, healthy food at thefarmersdog.com/toast. Plus, you get free shipping. Just go to thefarmersdog.com/toast to get 50% off. That's thefarmersdog.com/TOAST. A healthy diet is not just important for humans. Our dogs are the most important. I feel like that's what I've learned in the last couple of months. Dogs are more important than anything, and you need to take care of them. So do that.
Thank you, Claudia.
You're welcome.
Our next story, Ariana Grande will pay her ex-husband, Dalton Gomez, $1.25 million as they finalize their divorce. The dissolution of the former couple's two-year marriage became official Tuesday in the LA Superior Court. She and he settled the case in October 2023, but were required to wait 6 months before the judge's order could take effect. So she, who has an estimated net worth of $240 million, will make a one-time payment of $1.25 million to Dalton with no future alimony. She has also agreed to give him half of the proceeds from the sale of their LA home and will pay up to $25,000 toward his attorney fees. And then that's that on that.
Okay, I just want to say, like, obviously $1 million sounds like a lot of money in the scheme of a divorce and how much worse it could have been. Kelly Clarkson, Adele, she obviously, like, she's going to be the seven husbands of Ariana Grande. I think she knows that. And she has this ironclad prenup that if anybody wants to marry her, like, they just have to sign this document. And $1 million to her is, like, I want to say, like, $1,000 to a normal person. Maybe less, actually. Like, $100. Good work, you know?
Yeah.
Good work. Generous to give the sale of the house. But again, these are pennies to her.
Yeah. Also, the proceeds of the sale of the house. So say she bought the house. I'm sure she got her money back. And then whatever, if they made a little money on the house, he got half of that.
Half. No, it's giving charity case. And I love it. Like, I love, love, love when successful women have more money. And, like, I love that. Like, it's one of my favorite things. Like, giving no money to your husband. Whereas, like, if the roles were reversed, like, give her half, you know, of everything.
Of course. But it's still, like, he got $1 million.
No, and I'm like, ew, ick. You just took money, $1 million from a woman? Like, you're disgusting. This is one of my favorite tropes. I love when, like, successful women embarrass men, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
Yeah, this seems, that feels right in the words of the redheads.
It does feel right. Like when Adele, I didn't love when Adele gave $70 million to that. Like,
she gave him $70 million.
They got married in California. I don't believe they had a prenup, like literally half of everything. She was worth $140 million. He got $70.
Oh,
is that not the
God.
Craziest, most just, like, that's where, like, and I believe in marriage, you know? Like, I just feel like that's nuts.
That's that despicable.
Despicable.
Wow. Okay. Are you ready for the final story?
Okay, but then I don't think it's so despicable when Mackenzie Bezos got, like, you know, $100 billion. Like, I love that for her.
It's not one size fits all.
No, and you know what it is? So sorry. It's extremely gendered.
It is gendered.
It is.
We never said it wasn't.
Right, so Adele, like, giving him a child and $70 million, like, I'm sick.
Vomiting.
It's disgusting. How many kids did Mackenzie Bezos have?
A number. Number of
a
children.
Number.
Yeah, and she was with him from the beginning, like, you know, garage.
Garage.
Bald,
four kids. Four kids. I'm sorry. That's worth $36 billion or whatever it was.
$36 billion.
And by the way, she gave it all away. I think she kept like $1 million for herself. Couldn't be me.
I think she kept a little more than that. Like, I'm sure, like, you know, she gave away a lot. I'm sure she kept a lot.
No, I think
there's, like, a lot to go around.
No, it's true. If somebody gave me $36 billion, like, I really wouldn't need all that. And if I was, like, an extremely charitable person, yeah, I'd give away $35.
Yeah, you really don't need more than $1 billion. I think that's where things...
Okay, maybe, Jackie, 34.
Yeah, because you want to give me one.
Oh, okay, so 33. I have to give Ben one, too.
I feel like after $2 billion, like, things get problematic, you
murky.
Know?
Yeah, I do believe there is such thing as too much money. Like, it's important to, you know, and, you know, I think money problems are relative. Like, whether you have a lot of money what someone would consider a lot of money, or you, you know, live in poverty. Like, everybody has their own, well, poverty is different, but you know what I mean? Like, everybody worries about money on a different scale. Yeah. And you could see someone who you perceive to be super wealthy, but it's all relative to them. Like, they're worried about their bills. They have a higher cost of living.
But I also feel like, just karmically, the absolute wealthiest people are not the happiest. So you don't want to be there.
No. No, no, no.
You got to bring it down. I would like a notch.
To be. No, I feel like a really good amount of money to have is like $500 million. Like, that would make me feel good.
Yeah, I feel like the Kardashians are happy, honestly.
Yeah, but they have stayed really in their own weird way, like grounded in their values and family and religion, things like that. You have to, when you get hit with fame or money, like, you have to stay grounded in certain things. That's why a lot of celebrities, people like are always shocked to find, are very religious.
No, but I'm saying that like $500 million range is like the exact amount of money that the Kardashians have, more or less.
$500 million.
Million.
No, because Kim and Kylie are both billionaires.
Yeah, but liquidity. You okay, well, see this theory about going around that Kylie's like broke?
Poor. And that's why she's starting all these companies, just like hopefully one hits in the way that Kylie Cosmetics did. They think she lives beyond her means. She's selling her Beverly Hills house.
I don't think so. I also think it's more expensive to start companies than to just like take $1 million for an Instagram post.
Agreed, by the way. I also think, I don't dislike the theory that there are certain celebrities who might be, you know, not as wealthy as we think they are. I don't think Kylie to be one of them. Of all the things you could say about the girls, like, they're extremely savvy business-wise, financially. Chris makes sure everybody's really sort of buttoned up. So I like the theory. I just don't think it applies to Kylie.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think so.
Me neither.
Are you ready for our fifth and final story?
Oh, bidding is such sweet sorrow.
Yeah, but it's actually something that's been speculated on for a while. And we have our first bit of news that the new James Bond has been chosen.
And it's definitely giving wah, wah, wah.
British actor Aaron Taylor Johnson has been formally offered the chance to play James Bond and will sign contracts this week, says a source. So if you don't know Aaron Taylor Johnson, neither did I.
Oh, I know him because he's in a very weird relationship, right? Is that the guy?
Who is that?
Okay, people on TikTok are obsessed. I believe Aaron Taylor Johnson is like more of a, he got his start in theater.
Okay.
Aaron Taylor Johnson. Yes, and he's married to Sam Taylor Johnson, who is like many, many years his senior. They met in 2009. He was 18. She was 42. They have been together ever since. It's really fucking weird.
But how do you even know that? Like, how do you know him? From what?
People, from the relationship. People are obsessed because he's like really, really hot. It's like, oh, who's he going to date? And then you find out he actually married like the woman who groomed him when he was 18, you know? And that's why it's Taylor Johnson. They put their last names together. I think he was Johnson and she was Taylor.
Oh, because she wasn't going to take his name.
They met, she was his director, I believe. She's a filmmaker. So I'm sorry, like, it's gross and I don't like it.
How long have they been married?
Since 2009.
So at what point can you say, like, this is true love and I accept it?
Oh, I don't think I can.
Ever.
Because it was, yeah.
50 years,
I
think it's, kids, grandkids, and you would still say this was wrong.
Yeah. Is that crazy?
Kind of.
Oh, no, because I feel like he will never be able to like know anything other, because, you know, when he was so vulnerable, and you have to think about how boys like have the emotional maturity. They're like 5 years delayed. Yeah. He was really like 13.
Stop. Don't say that. He was
no,
18.
I'm sorry. This is, it's disgusting. And honestly, I don't like it.
Okay.
Hopefully he gets really, really famous as Bond, gets all like the money and access in the world. And I don't know, maybe meets a therapist or I don't know, something.
You think he's trapped?
No, I don't think he's trapped. I think it's sort of like, what's that? Stockholm syndrome, kind of. Like, he's a victim. And I just want to say, I don't like it for Bond. I feel like we've had, there's been sort of, you know, people championing certain actors to get the role over the years. It was Idris Elba, but they took too long and he kind of, you know,
aged out.
Miles Teller, Regé Jean-Paul. Like, there are all these people.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see anybody saying Aaron Taylor Johnson should be it. Now, I obviously like that he's British.
I think I like it. He looks just like Daniel Craig. He looks like he could. They're not trying to reinvent the role. They're just like, here's another one. Another one.
I don't like it.
I don't dislike it. He's handsome. By the way, mind you, I've never seen a Bond movie in my life, so this is not for me. And nobody
you haven't?
Nobody over at Team Bond gives a rip what I think.
I've seen a 007.
I've not seen one.
That's like really crazy. No, he's super hot. I don't like it.
Who would you have wanted to see? Mind you, should be someone British.
Harry Styles.
But then he's only ever like, that kind of limits him.
Know, I know, by the way, I didn't mean that in a serious way. No, he's not right for it. And he's like too busy.
Yeah.
Who's like the young, hot British thing, you know, but buff.
Buff.
Someone like Taron Egerton, but he obviously has his own franchise, which is so good. The Kingsman. So good. I don't know. I would need to think about it. Like on a really serious, I need to do some research.
Okay. Well, also this is kind of a rumor, though I do think it's true because this came out of nowhere. He came out of nowhere. Unless this is really good marketing for him. Like make everyone think you have the role and then they'll be like, oh yeah, he would be good for it.
Right, right. Like they start seeing you as Bond.
Yeah, yeah. But the thing is, it's not hard to see him as Bond. He looks like a young Daniel Craig.
I don't like it.
Okay. I don't dislike it.
Well, we're just going to have to agree to disagree.
And I feel like he's someone who will become Bond as opposed to Bond now becoming about the actor. Like he's...
It needs to be somebody like well-known, but not... enough that it's confusing because you are Bond forever.
You are Bond forever. Bond is you. You are one. You are bonded.
Even like characters Daniel Craig has played between Bond movies are Bond coded.
Yeah.
He's just like that slick, you know, sort of, he doesn't play anyone poor ever, you know?
Yeah. He was in Glass.
Onion.
Knives Out.
Glass Onion.
Both.
Was he in Knives Out? Knives Out. Who was he?
He's the detective. Knives Out and then Knives Out Glass Onion.
Right. Oh, is he? Yeah. Yeah.
I saw those.
Yeah, no, it's good.
So, yeah. I guess that's that on that. Wait,
Brian answered me. So interesting. He has not. Because he's so tall, he is above the weight limit.
So you were right. Well, I guess.
Yeah.
About his height being an impetus, but because of weight. What's the weight limit? But
I probably would, though. It's safe, is what he said.
What's the weight limit?
I don't know. And I wonder if the weight limit has to do with the plane or the parachute.
I think the parachute. And I don't know. I wonder if, like, Brian, how far away is he? Like, maybe he would lose a few just to do it.
Right. He probably is on the cusp because he's a fit guy.
Right. And maybe it's like, okay, if I lost 10 pounds, I could go skydiving. Then I can go back to my
right. Is weight. It 50? Is it 10? It's a good point.
But clearly he's thought it through.
Yeah, no, obviously. I'm sure every time he goes to like a place, one of the things to do is like, you got to skydive here. And he's like, I can't.
That he should have done it when he was younger before he got so tall.
So true.
I wonder what the age limit is, the minimum.
Well, you have to sign like your whole life away. So
it's probably 18.
Oh, the minimum. I thought you meant the limit. Oh, for sure.
Otherwise, you need a parent or guardian. And really, who's going to want their child to do that? Say,
yeah, kid, son, have a good time.
I feel like it's something that people do when they like finally get out of the house.
Yeah.
They like go to another country for the first time. They're like, fuck it. I'm skydiving.
No, like I would never.
Yeah.
So that's it.
That's it. That's the whole thing. That's the show.
Why don't you wrap it up today?
Okay. Thank you so much for listening to The Toast today and every day. Really, we appreciate you so much. It's so nice to have listeners of our ilk who really enjoy this jolly good show that we put on.
Oh, she's making a meal of it.
I'm making an acceptance speech, okay? It's been wonderful doing the show with my girl, La Swirl. La Turd, she's off to go running. We wish her well on this journey.
Oh, I forgot.
Oh, sorry. Sorry.
I need to eat something first.
Don't make me ask. What are you going to eat?
I don't know. Fuck, now I'm in like a literal bad mood.
Oh, geez. Okay. I'll just wrap it up. Love ya. Bye.